Welcome to Dracena Wines Podcast. Our wines plus your moments equals great memories. I'm your host, Lori, and this is a podcast about all things wine. Welcome. Happy Monday.
But did you have a nice trip to Bordeaux?
I did. I had a phenomenal trip to Bordeaux. It was a once in a lifetime experience. I think that anybody can go to Bordeaux and it's an amazing experience, but to be privy to the behind the scenes, to go to all the chateaus, to taste the wines I tasted, to have lunch with three of the Rothschilds, you know, to sit down and taste a decade by decade vertical starting in the 50s at a Covenant Jacobin in Saint-Emilion is unbelievable. And then if that wasn't enough, Xavier pulled out a 49
for us to taste,
and it's ruined my palate for like every other wine on the face of the earth. Because, to taste a 53 and a 49 that are so alive and so fresh,
that's amazing.
It is amazing. I have to kind of chill a bit before I can write, because my brain is still on sensory overload. Like, right. It's, you know, like I can't believe I experienced this. I can't believe this happened. So if I try to sit down and write, it's not going to happen, because it's going to be, you know, ooh, squirrel,
you know. Digest it.
Yeah. It was incredible. And again, I have to thank Melesima for sponsoring, and Claire Mion, the chateau that sponsored us to be there. It was incredible. And Fabian and Amanda and Ruben and Ryan and Kelly, we had so much laughs together. We had a blast, and they made it an even better experience because I was experiencing it with them. So it was incredible. There will be lots and lots of writing, and there were, I think, lots and lots of social media. I think I was posting on Instagram mostly for it.
I think we should get going.
Yes. Here we go. So we can skip our introductions of ourselves. I think that was enough.
I think we should say, you know, I'm Debbie G. Quindo.
Okay. Lori Budd. So,
and this is Alphabet Street.
It is my best street.
Today we are talking about Cabernet. We're kind of venturing, you know, we had a hard time with K, you know, what great varietals with K and stuff. So we kind of chose Cabernet. It's not a grape. It's not a place. It's a classification.
General characteristics. Okay. So as we said, all right, Cabernet is not a grape. It is not a region. It is a classification of actually Riesling. Okay? So Riesling is grown in wine regions pretty much everywhere, but it is the dominant grape variety in Germany. So German Rieslings are considered to be the best made, with probably Alsatian wines being a close second. Okay, so when you think Riesling, high quality Rieslings, it's German and Alsatia. And Riesling is also grown very successfully, like in Austria, Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, Canada, all over the United States. It's known very much in the Finger Lakes, in New York, Michigan, Washington, Idaho, Oregon, California. I mean, pretty much it's a happy grape wherever you can, wherever it is. But Germany and Alsatia are the main places. Now, the wine label, holy casmoli, so different than what we are used to seeing in the United States. Once again, we've got the wine region, which is kind of like in France, where the wine region is rather significant. So it is big, but unlike France, there is a producer kind of in the forefront. So that is closer to us in the United States. The vintage is easy. The grape variety, this is Riesling. And then the ripeness is Cabernet, which we will get into. And then this label here actually does have the village and the quality classification, which I will get into, because that in its own right is a whole other massive confusion ahead. I love German Riesling, but it is a confusing category. Okay, so first off, we have, as I said, I think it's a very confusing classification system, but probably because we just don't live there. All German quality wine, which is actually Qualitätswein, falls into one of two categories. QBA, which stands for Qualitätswein Bestimmter, and Ambergegitte, which is quality wine from a designated area. So QBA, okay? And I butchered those terms, okay? This is actually the lower quality wine categories in which most German wines are classified. It actually literally means quality wine from a defined region, okay? These wines must come from one of the 13 specified wine growing regions and contains only approved grape varieties that have ripened to a certain level and display the style and taste of that region. These wines are meant to be consumed young. Then we get to what this slide is, a QMP. So QMP stands for Qualitätswein mit Patika, and that is quality wine with special distinction. And the levels of sweetness are from driest to the most sweet is Cabernet, Spätlese, Auslese, Baron-Auslese, Ice Wine, and Trockenbaron-Auslese. And the way I remember this order is because I always learned in high school that you have to come up with something stupid to remember it by, is Kelly spoke about beer every time. So
that's good. I like that.
Thanks. So that's how I remember the order. I can't pronounce half of them, but that is how I remember the order. Okay. All wines carrying this rating are produced from approved grape varieties. They have levels of ripeness that allows the wines made from them to reach a certain traditional level of taste and style. So the nice thing about this is that if you taste each of these levels, okay, from dry to sweet, and you find the level that you like, then you can pretty much go to any store and, okay, I want a Cabernet, you can predict what it's going to taste like. So that makes it nice and easy for you. So you can, you know, if you like Spätlese, then you're going to like this Spätlese, you're going to like this Spätlese, you're going to like this Spätlese, and you're going to be comfortable going into the store and picking up a Spätlese. If you like Trockenbaron-Auslese, you know, the truck, then you're probably not going to like the Cabernet. Okay. So you can play around with that. QBA wines tend to be light, fresh, and fruity, and they are produced, produced to also be drunk somewhat young. Okay. I think I'm a slide ahead. Did I miss the QBA? No. Okay. So a little bit about each category. Cabernet is the lightest and least sweet category of Germany's QMP wine designation. Cabernet wines are known for their delicacy. Normal harvest, this I think is kind of cool or really stringent, I guess. The local authorities actually declare harvest day. So, yeah, so as a winemaker, I get to determine when I pick my fruit. With Cabernet, we don't. You know, they're determining the actual harvest day. Okay. In Spätlese is considered a later harvest, and it is approximately 12 to 14 days after the after the Cabernet. Ostlese is selected clusters. There's slight botrytis, so it's kind of a sweeter, but still technically a dry wine. Baronostelese, I really should learn how to say these terms, are actually selected berries, and that's actually what it means is berry. And it is these wine or these grapes are actually infected with botrytis. So they are very ripe. They're always sweet. And you typically are going to find them in 375s, not in 750s. Okay. Ice wine is made from grapes that have been naturally frozen on the vine, making it very concentrated. So it must reach at least the same level of sugar content in the must as the Baronostelese. But the most classic ice wine style is to use only grapes that are not affected by noble rot. Okay, so that's kind of important for the ice wine. And then the last one, which is the Trockenberger. I really should have learned how to say these terms.
TBA or something like that. Is that the initials?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's what it goes by. Yeah, because nobody can say that word. Yeah. These are selected dry berries. They are always infected with botrytis, and you can typically expect flavors of apricot, and they are sweet. When you're picking that up, you know it's a dessert wine. You know it is a sweet wine. Okay. Next is noble rot. So this is actually a fungus, and it is what allows it gets into the fruit, and it's what causes that sweetness level to skyrocket. It is just coming back from sauternes. Okay, that is what they look for that in the sauterne. And going back to that, I will say that I have tried sauterne before and have never ever liked it.
I was going to ask you if you liked it.
I have never had a sauterne here that I have enjoyed. And in Bordeaux, in sauterne, yeah, I'll drink that.
I went to the Bordeaux tasting in New York City.
Right.
And I tasted sauternes and I absolutely was blown away. I actually ordered some.
Yeah.
Not from the wine tasting, but, you know, I got them. They're smaller bottles, but when you come down, we'll have some.
Yeah, I was blown away because I've had it. You know, I have friends who drink it all the time, and I'm like, all right, give me a little glass. And then I take a sip and I'm like, why am I even drinking this?
So maybe we should do this for us.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Yeah. And then, in sauternes, it was amazing. It was really amazing. So, that was another great thing that I learned a lot about it. That things that I didn't know and things that I had a preconceived notion about were blown away. All right, so German Riesling in general. Riesling is an aromatic grape variety with flowery, almost perfumed aromas and high acidity, making it one of the most versatile and food-friendly white wines. It is very known to be terroir-driven. Which means that the character of the Riesling is highly influenced by its region. Most Riesling, unlike Chardonnay, does not go under malolactic fermentation. And that's what helps to preserve the tartness and the acidic characteristic of the wine that gives Riesling its thirst-quenching characteristics. And Cabernet profile. Cabernet wine is naturally a very light bodied and refreshing wine. Commonly, it is relatively low alcohol levels and is usually dry, trocken, or medium dry, halbtrocken for Riesling. Cabernet wine is frequently exhibits apple, vineyard peach, pink, grapefruit flavors while young, and white blossom and pineapple as it gets older. So in my little picture, look, I have the little baby. So when Cabernet is young, you get green apple, the peach, right? And then when it's old, you get that. So I just wanted to use those two pictures. So, and that is my general characteristics of Cabernet.
I'll tell you, finding the history was kind of really interesting.
Really? I'm excited to hear about it. I'm excited to hear about it.
You know, you're going for, it's not a history of a grape. You're talking about the history of a classification.
Right.
And where does it really come from? And how was it, you know, who thought of it? And, you know, there's, you know. It was interesting because
it could go in a lot of different directions. It's easy to get into the so-called rabbit hole on things like that. Like you
right.
Could just,
right. So the history of Cabernet. So Cabernet, that's the Riesling grape right there. As if you can see my pointer thing. is used for a German wine that is made from fully ripened grapes of the main harvest that are picked in September. They're made in a lighter style and they're fruity and they range. And this was interesting because I always thought of Cabernet as the dry style of the Riesling coming from Germany, but it says it can range from dry to off dry. And I will tell you that the wine that I'm sitting here drinking is off dry.
This has a hint of sweetness, but I think I would still classify it as dry, but
this I would classify as off dry.
Yeah.
And, so looking for, dry, if you're looking for a dry Riesling from Germany, if you look and it says trocken on the label, that means it's dry. And also, if they're a member of the International Riesling Foundation, there's a sweetness scale on the back of the bottle that they use to determine, that's the Riesling scale, where it sits. Not all of them have it. The wine that I have does not have the Riesling scale, but does yours?
No, it doesn't. But that's what when you said that, that's why I went, is because like some of them do and some of them don't, but that's
right.
Why they either belong to that association.
International Riesling Foundation, yeah. So the term once implied wine of superior quality or reserve and was also known as Cabernet, C-A-B-I-N-E-T, like your cabinet, your cabinet. Yeah. And it was called Cabernet Wine.
Okay.
So, and I guess they shortened it to Cabernet.
Oh, Chateau.
So the first, actually the term was first used with the Cistercian monks in Eberach Abbey in the Rheingau region in 1712. And it was used to classify or talk about their best wines. And this abbey was one of the largest monasteries in Germany and was very successful in growing grapes and producing wine in the region. So they were the first ones to use the Cabernet, you know, classification. And that's a picture of the abbey. It looks beautiful.
It sure does.
So here we have no sugar. So the in 1971, Cabernet was official. The German law recognized it to apply to wines that are light and I would say fruity and not chapelized. So chapelization is when they add sugar when they're processing and fermenting the grapes. So today it falls into the practice wine category and will contain some residual sugar. However, some may be made in a dry style. And the residual sugar that it maintains is not chaptalized. So there's no added sugar in the wine. And I don't think the everyday person will really knows what chaptalization is. I think that's a winemaker term, you know, that we know when they add the sugar to the fermentation.
It's also illegal in a lot of areas.
Yeah.
You can't add it in California. You can only add it in the regions where the weather is so cold that they might not get to proper ripeness. But in California, it's illegal.
So today, for wine to be classified as Cabernet, the must, which is the juice density, must be between 67 and 82 degrees Auschlitz. And oh my God, this slide was so good. It showed the whole, anyway, Auschlitz, and the wine must not be chaptalized. So the Auschlitz is a scale that indicates the grape ripeness and the sugar content in winemaking. Kind of like a refractometer.
Yes.
And I give an example here, which you can, obviously you can't see because I messed up the slide presentation.
It's one of those days.
Plateaus would be between 76 and 90 on the Auschlitz, and where Cabernet is between 67 and 82. So there is a little overlay between the Spaltes and the Cabernet. And then you have ice wine, which is between 110 and 128, which is made from the late harvesting grapes. So that's pretty much it from the history.
That's kind of cool. It's always the monks.
I know. They do everything. They find all these unique and ornate.
They don't speak, so they drink. That's pretty much what it is.
So shall we drink? Shall we show
everybody? We shall drink. So just your glass, what's your color?
Mine is more yellow than yours.
Yeah. Yeah, mine is very.
I would say palestra. More yellow, but golden.
Yeah, so I'm palestra. Mine is. Wait, what did you ask me?
What year?
Oh, mine is a 16.
So is mine.
Yeah, it's just how it. Yeah, yeah. The winemaker thing. So again, I have wine gut gill. Okay. And it is made in Rheinhessen region, okay, which is actually the geographical region part of the Rhine River, and it's bordered on the west by the Nye River and to the north and east by the Rhine. So this region is three sides, I guess, to the Rhine and then the Nye River. The climate in the area is very mild. The region is ringed by protective hills and forests in the west. It's forested and very hilly countryside is known as the Rheinhessen's Switzerland. So I was like looking at pictures and I'm like, oh, it's like the Sound of Music. And that type of stuff. That's pretty much what it looked like.
There.
Yeah. In the north, it's got the Taunus Hills and in the east, the Odin Forest. And I don't know why, you know how every time I just like names or whatever, I like Odin Forest. So I want to try to figure out how to get to the Odin Forest. Soil types in the region are loess, limestone and loam mixed with sand or gravel. Soil itself is a red, slaty, sandy clay soil. So like the stuff that turns everything red. In the steep riverfront vineyards of the Nockenheim and the Nierstein and near Bingen, there is actually an area that's got slate. So there's quite a bit of diversity within there, depending on north, south, east, west. The owner of this winery is Thomas Giel. And on February 19th, 1760, Johannes Giel from Selsen married Maria Katharina Zimmermann in Eimsheim, There's not a single thing in that sentence that I know what the heck they're talking about. since this time, the winery Giel has been managed, and it's now in the eighth generation of the family. The vineyard areas from Mettenheim and Bechtheim brought Hannelore Giel Geb again. The words, I need Mike to take me to Germany because I just want to be able to say these words in a place where they are. Reicher into, so they entered into a marriage with Wilfred Giel, which are the parents of today's owner, Thomas Giel. And he was studying for an internship in the domain Niederhausen, which is in the Ney area, for viticulture at the University of Applied Sciences in Geisenheim with a graduation diploma. And since the autumn of 1993, Thomas Giel has also been responsible for the cellar. So basically, zero information on the family other than who married whom, and that it's the eighth generation that he is now finally in charge of the cellar. So
these,
the things I will say is I doing this series, I have found that Americans are very self-centered because when you do a wine and it's from the United States, doesn't matter where, anywhere in the United States, when you go to their website, when you Google them, there is information galore about the winery, about the people of the wine. Mm-hmm. This person is the winemaker. This person is the owner. This person is behind the counter. This person takes out the garbage. This person does that, whatever. There's so much information. But when we do these wine regions, well, regions are a little different, but when we do these other types of things outside of the United States, when we get to talking about the wine from these regions, there's like no information out there about these people. Like it's
limited. I will say in some respects, it's limited because the wine that I have, it's a young guy is the winemaker and has taken over third generation. And it was just all about him, just as he has this enology degree and winemaking degree.
Right. That's it, right?
In America, it's meet my wife and kids.
Right, right.
This is what I've done. This is where I want to be. This is what I'm striving for.
Right. The whole history, and I hunted the, and this is a somewhat well-known winery, and all I got was this person married this person. This person married this person. It began in 1760, and today, this guy owns it and runs it. So it's like, it's a little, I'd love to promote these places, but it's a little tough when you can't find any information. And I'm not exactly going to call Germany to,
Right.
So that is pretty much all I have. I will say the wine itself is very minerally. It's got a very nice mineral, nice flint. It's got the petrol that you would expect with a Riesling, but it is peachy, and it does have floral, and but it's I think that's the first thing that you get with a Riesling is that petrol.
Well, pour. So I have to tell you that this bottle that I have a Nick Weiss St. Urban's Hof Blankenstein Cabernet, and I'll go into the whole thing. I love the coat of arms.
Yes.
And it's the label, it's all embossed.
Oh, very nice. That's big bucks.
It's really nice. So when I was researching him, he actually this Cabernet is estate bottled. It's 1999. And it's 8% alcohol. And here we go with the lineage.
8%?
What?
Did you say 8%?
8% alcohol, yeah.
Holy crap, that's not even wine. I'd be done with that bottle in 2 seconds flat. Mine is 10, and I'm going to be really? Through it before the end of
Mine's
it.
Mine's 8%, but Rieslings like this, they tend to be lower alcohol.
Yeah, well, this is 10. That's low.
Like I said, this has got a sweetness to it. So, Nicholas's grandfather founded the winery in 1947. And it's named after the patron saint, Urban the winemaker. We have, this is what it said from the website. I never heard of patron saint Urban the winemaker.
No, I haven't. But you know what? I'm going to start praying to him. Slancha.
There's 40 hectare vineyards, and they have a private nursery. And they're a member of the Association of the German Prattis Winger VDP. So Nick, and actually Nick is kind of cute. Nice German picture on the website. Staunch, you know, German guy, the blonde hair, blue eyes. So Nick, if you ever see this, I think you're kind of cute. I could be your mother.
maybe he goes for that.
Maybe.
He's third generation. Oh, need to know.
No, he just, I've been to Germany when I was younger, and he reminded me of Klaus. My brother, when he was 3 years old in nursery school, came home from nursery school. We lived in New Rochelle at the time. And he told my mother he made this friend, Derek. Derek doesn't speak any English, but he wanted Derek to come over to play. And that created a lifelong friendship with Derek's family. And when I was 16, we all went over to Germany. And Derek had a brother, Klaus. Derek was dark hair. Klaus is blonde, blue eyes. And he reminded me of Klaus. So that's all I can say. And to this day, the family friendship is still there. I will tell you, it's 46 years later, the family. So anyway, back to the wine. So he's third generation. And he has a degree in winemaking and enology. Didn't say where, but his whole thing is he's dedicated to producing the authentic Mosel wines that reflect the region. So in 2000, the estate that was founded by his grandfather was accepted into the VDP, the Verband Deutscher Prädis-Wing. Yeah, you got it. And I'm German. German-Hungarian. So anyway, his passion lies, Nick's passion lies in the exploration to get the optimal balance between preserving the centuries of tradition that are in the German Riesling and then harnessing the valuable new innovations. This particular wine, the Brockenstein Vineyard, is located in the Saar Valley, which it's also on the southwestern slope. And the soil is mostly made out of hard weathered, gritty gray whack. Now, I never heard of the term gray whack. Have you?
I have not.
So I Googled it because, you know, Google knows almost everything.
Everything.
And it's a dark, coarse grained sandstone containing more than 15% clay.
Oh, okay.
So, and this gives the wine the minerality. The climate there, they get the cooling air from the Hunsrück Mountains, and that flows into the valley. So the wines from this location generally show floral notes and an almost salty minerality, coupled with smokiness of the slate. And they're the probably most distinctive and polished wines that this particular winery produces, especially the classic Rieslings. And they have some leftover in their own residual sweetness. So that pretty much, you know, like I said, this has got a sweetness touch to it. This would taste really well with like Thai food, pad Thai.
Oh, okay. Mine is not as crisp as I would put with that.
See, I think you're thinking of like Finger Lakes Riesling, where they're real crisp and acidic. Mine's not crisp and acidic either.
No, it is not. It is not. But it doesn't have, it doesn't have the that hint of sweetness that you're talking about that I would then pair with the Thai food. Like I'm talking this specific one.
Okay, so this wine has a this beautiful, and I'm not one that really likes a lot of petrol in my Riesling. Like my husband loves it. Paul loves the petrol. But this has like a floral petrolness to it. Mm-hmm. It's not overbearing. There's something floral about the petrol in it. And a touch of minerality, you can get past through it. It's like a fresh, I would say white flowers almost also.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that. I got white flowers.
And the taste, the flavor, it has definitely some apricot, but it kind of ends in citrus notes.
Yeah, I'm getting peach that then has a little, almost lemon zest on the end.
I get almost a little bit of grapefruit in my.
Yeah, I've got peach.
I can tell a little bit of the saltiness on the finish, kind of like the aftertaste, like a tinge of saltiness.
A little bit.
Mm-hmm. But, and it does, it's got this a sweetness burst. I would definitely pair this with spice because it would complement it.
Yep.
Definitely see some pad thai with this.
Oh, tofu.
Too bad tomorrow's Malbec day.
Oh, I can't even deal. Yeah. Oh. All right. Is that it for your wine?
That's it for my wine.
I did not say mine was actually your. You said yours was
$19.99.
Yeah. Mine was $14.99.
Okay.
So, but anyway, so you are up again, and you are up with you are up with the food pairings.
Okay.
Now that we've got tofu pad thai on the mind.
Yeah, I can't find pad thai down here, but that's wishful.
You got a restaurant. Make it.
I don't think Gus is a pad thai chef. He's more fine dining. We were talking about caviar and sparkling wine pairings for a seminar in December.
Very nice.
Yeah. Yeah. So, pad thai.
I love that plate.
I'm telling you, I got to find a place down here that makes decent pad thai. So, pad thai is one of the things that pairs very well with Riesling, and it's a spice, and you know, it really complements the spice. Can I go next? Can I go next? And chicken. You know, just, you know, when you think about, you know, in general, you know, a chicken and even maybe in any type of, you know, a white type of sauce, a wine sauce, or I would even cook in this with this Riesling with a chicken, sesame chicken.
That's what I was thinking. I was going sesame chicken.
Yeah. Sesame chicken,
General Chow's.
Yeah, General Chow's chicken.
General Chow's. I do tofu, but yeah, same thing. But that I can see.
They actually do tofu too for General Chow's.
Oh, they do. I eat it all the time.
Yeah, that's what I order if I go to a Chinese restaurant. And here we have like squid.
All right.
But then again, it's a spicy squid salad.
Because it's got some jalapenos in there.
You have the spice, which complements it. And it doesn't have to, I'm not talking spice like it's going to burn your mouth. I'm talking subtle spice where the slight sweetness of the Riesling is just going to complement it. And it's just going to, the flavors of both the food and the wine will explode in your mouth.
Right.
And ham. Ham is a really good dish, any type of ham dish to pair with Riesling. So my rule of thumb with Riesling is if it has some sweetness to it, you want some type of a slightly spicy dish because it complements it. The sweetness lessens the spice. So then this should be rules to note, like if you're at a wine tasting or if you're at a wine festival or any type of thing, event where there is food and wine and there are Rieslings or a little sweeter wine and you taste something that's very spicy for your palate, go seek out a sweeter wine and take a sip of that because that will neutralize your palate.
It's a very good rule. Fast facts. Here we go. Fact number one. You know where I'm going, right?
I know where you're going.
Fast fact number one, cabinet literally means cabinet. Or sometimes cabinet vine, literally meaning a wine set aside in a cabinet, is a German language wine term for a wine which is made from fully ripened grapes of the main harvest, typically picked in September and are usually considered a light style. I really like that kitchen. Mm-hmm. Fact number two. Cabernet is the lowest level of Praticat's wine. Hey, Praticat is actually how you say it, which I don't get how you get that, but Praticat wine. Fast fact number three. In 1971, the term cabernet was officially noted in German wine law, and it was given its current definition, which applies to wines which are light and non-chapitalized, which, as you discussed, means no sugar added. Fast fact number four, the Praticat wine system is not a sweetness scale, but a ripeness scale, which does kind of semi then turn you back to a sweetness scale, but it really has to do with the ripeness of the fruit at picking. So the Riesling gets picked at a specific, basically Brix level, a specific ripeness level that when it gets picked. And fast fact number five, the world's steepest vineyard is in Germany's Mosel-Saar Ruhr region. Look at how steep that is. So I'm pretty sure that they need to be like harnessed when they are harvesting that. Yes, that is Cabernet, and that is really Riesling. So we need to come up with something different for R, because I don't want to do Riesling again.
We'll figure something out.
Yeah. So we made
the next month we visit Lambrusco.
Yes. So that is Wine for Bet Street for April. I cannot believe that we are up to
the We're almost coming out of a year too. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L is a year, 12 months.
Wow.
I count on my fingers.
Wow. That's incredible. Which, you know what? We did not bring up our sponsor.
Oh my gosh.
So our sponsor is, that's because we had so much technical difficulty.
Wink.
Wink. Okay. Wink Wine is a wine club that you can join. And it is different in the fact that you get to pick four bottles of wine, or you let them pick the four bottles of wine for you. And you take this nice little quiz that is kind of fun to take because it asks questions that you don't really think about. And by your answers, it gives you a palate profile and it suggests four wines for you. And you can either choose those wines or choose different wines, whatever you want. And if you put four bottles or more into your shopping cart, they will cover the shipping for you. And the average bottle price is like $13. There's some up there. There's some that I saw some that are like $40 or $50, I think. But the average price is $13. And if you go to our website, which is, or their website, which is TryWinc, so TryWinc.com/winefabet, they're going to give you $20 off of your first order. So that pretty much means you're going to get four bottles of wine delivered to your door somewhere in the vicinity of about $30. So it's a pretty good deal. And the thing that I like is that you are not required to get wine every month. So they are really good with giving you notification. Like with all of my traveling, I did not need more wine right now. So I got the notification that they were getting ready to ship the wine. I just went to their website and clicked skip this month. And wham, they skipped the month. No penalty, no fee, nothing. You pay for only what you get. So you can accept shipments, not accept shipments. You can make shipments mid-month. You can do, it's very versatile. So again, go to TryWinc, which is TryWinc.com/winefabet, and get $20 off of your first order. So get those four bottles delivered to your door. If you don't like it, cancel. It's a piece of cake, no penalty whatsoever. So it's definitely worth a shot.
And if you like it, let us know. And let us know what you think of the wines.
Yeah, please do. So I've had three of their bottles so far, and I've enjoyed them. They're very nice wines, and they're pretty good, you know, with the palate. The fourth one I haven't had yet, so we'll see. But so join, you know, head on over, look at it, no obligation, see what they have, see what, you know, it's at least fun to take the quiz and see what they think is your profile, and then see if you agree with what their profile is.
So next month, Wine for Bed Street's on Monday, May 21st. And we hope to see you all there.
We do. Okay. So have a great night, everybody. Have a great month. And sláinte.
See you next month.
I hope you enjoyed listening to Wine for Bed Street. K is for Cabinet. Before I wrap up, I have a few shameless plugs. First, please head over to our website, DraceenaWines.com, to find out more about our award-winning wines and about our brand new wine club, The Chalk Club. You can arrange to get three bottles of our wine delivered to your house twice a year, once in April and once in September. This guarantees that you will always get your hands on our wine before we sell out. You can choose between all red and red and rosé. You'll get a flat $15 shipping on all Wine Club orders, and we'll even take care of the shipping on your second order. Plus, each year you remain in the club, your discount increases, allowing you to save even more money. And my second plug, please take a moment from your busy schedule to leave us a review on iTunes. Let us know how you are liking the podcast, and it allows other people to find us more easily. Well, that's it for the week. May you have big pours. Sláinte.
Thanks for listening to Dracena Wines Podcast. If you have suggestions of what topics you would like us to discuss, please reach out to us on social media or at dracenawines@gmail.com. If you liked our podcast, please subscribe at iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or whichever podcasting program you use. To easily subscribe at iTunes, please go to bit.ly/DraceenaPodcast. That's bit.ly/D for Dracena and P for podcast. We would greatly appreciate you leaving a review on your favorite system. It helps others to find us. Let's get social. Find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, Pinterest, YouTube, Google Plus, and Periscope at Dracena Wines. And I am on LinkedIn as Lori Hoyt Budd. Check out our award-winning wine at DracenaWines.com. And remember to always pursue your passion. Sláinte.